1 2 1 2 Yours truly, the boy, back with Talk To Podcast. Okay, I want you guys just to feel these vibes which I had before. But listen, there's something funny that happened. I started recording and the mics weren't plugged in. Okay, listen, we're back. Okay, I'm here with Jerome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on, people?
And I'm here with Easy. Okay, hello, if you guys everyone. Don't know, Easy, go on, say hello to the people, man, so
hello,
they can hear.
Hello, people.
Okay,
what's
so.
Up?
So Easy was here on the first episode, and we spoke about the interracial couple thing. If you haven't listened to it, go ahead and check it out. And just before that, if you guys didn't hear, off the mic, Jerome was just complaining, why wasn't I in that episode? That's because we met after.
I've got something to say.
he was late. No, we're going to talk about it. Listen, we're gonna talk. You can talk about it now. But listen, I want to find out first, how you guys doing? Lockdown level 5, how you guys feeling?
This is a strange one. Like, compared to the first one, I think I find this odd, and I tell you why. Mm. Right, like just the other day, I had what's his name, Leo, said that apparently non-essential stuff should not be sold. So you're basically not,
who's Leo for the people that don't know?
That's the
T-Shock. Okay,
right. So basically, you can walk into a store and buy as much booze as you want, right?
Mm.
But you cannot go into a store and buy a winter jacket for your son.
Yeah.
Or buy a toy for your son. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around the reasoning.
Why is alcohol essential?
For the life of me, I can't figure it out. Because it has to be the dumbest decision I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, Irish people love that drink. But listen, they say only socks and boxers are like this for clothing. And they also shut down the toy aisle.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work over Christmas time.
I mean, look. You know, you're urging people to stay home. Now, for those of us who have kids at home, it's hard to keep a child entertained in the house.
Yeah.
You need like 1,000 toys. So if you shut down the toy department, what are we supposed to do? If you can't buy a jacket
Peppa
for
Pig,
your child,
man, on replay. Play
that
on replay.
No, the mercy. No, I don't let my son watch no TV.
Oh, for real?
Oh,
no.
Oh, I like
no
that.
TV.
Okay, if you guys don't know, Jerome and Easy are one of those people, no social media, no, we talk about that, but why
read book? We read books. Look, I think you're better off stimulating your child through stimulating their imagination by reading a book than watching TV. You don't want your child to be glued to a TV by the time they're 14, 15. The only thing they know what to do is look in front of a computer screen. Do you know what I mean? So for me, what I do in the day, I bring him to the park. I bring him in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evenings, we can play board games.
Mm-hmm.
I read books and stuff to challenge his imagination.
Mm.
So
but
he can
only
think
what?
For himself.
He's still only like what?
He's 15 months now.
That's like he's like 1 year and like 3 months, isn't
yeah.
it?
But can I interrupt you guys for a second? Props to you. I just love what you said.
Thank you.
It was just 2 days ago that I watched a documentary on exactly what you just described. And actually, children under the age of 5 cannot grasp 80% of what they visually see on a screen. Their brain just doesn't get it. And so basically, if you let the child use the time it's awake, sitting in front of digital screens, this is like a time being wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the child sleeps, you know, it develops its brain,
yeah.
its cognitive training,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So when the child is awake, you should put as much time as stimulating its brain
mm-hmm.
as possible. So I just love how you just introduced your, what you do at home. That's amazing.
Well, aren't you guys the nerdy
one? I don't want to go off too off topic too much.
My
but
kid is
going,
my
really,
kid on TV
really,
is going to be, nah, I'm only joking.
You hear that? You don't hear that too much often.
Yeah, yeah, too
it,
often.
It,
I'm surprised
it,
by that,
there's
Jerome.
There's a danger in that because I think, look, if you look at TV these days and
mm-hmm.
the kind of content that's out there, I'm not quite sure I want my son to be that exposed to TV. I mean, look at the way we come up.
Mm.
There was no TVs. You'd listen to the radio and you go off and play the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But that sparked our imagination. Do you know what I mean? You push around bricks pretending they're cars. Do you know what I mean? That was our toys. We made our own toys because we had imagination.
Yeah, I remember that. We made
Do
it
know
off.
What I mean?
Of cans and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We used our imagination, whereas today, whatever they see on TV, they want to get.
Mm.
Because it's right there. So they're using advertisement and subliminally putting this in a kid's minds that if a child sees a toy on TV, next thing, daddy, I want this.
I want, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you don't get them exposed to this, and I'm not saying there's, you know, like in moderation, yes, yes, you can, you know, you can have the child watch a little bit of TV, but within reason. But this first thing in the morning, you slap on Pep Pig, you know, and the whole day that's running over and over and over. For me, it feels like you're trying to create a zombie out of your child.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yo, who was the last person who told me they were cool? Oh, I know. I won't call it a name. I don't know the last person who told me they had the kids watching the same show over and over again. Okay, that's cool. I mean, you guys are parents. You guys can choose what to do with your child. But you guys let me know if you agree with Jerome or not. But I think it makes perfect logical sense, even though I don't have any kids or whatever. On another note, guys, I wanted to ask you guys something. I was reading a quote. Not a quote, but something that Prince Harry said. He said, he says his marriage to Meghan Markle, obviously, if you guys don't know who Prince Harry is, he's the grandson of the Queen.
Oh, yeah, that's a ginger dude, is it?
Yeah, that's
I'm just playing. I'm stupid.
Son of Diana. And he said his marriage with Meghan Markle has made him more aware of unconscious bias towards black people as he urges people to join the fight against racism. You understand? So I found that very intriguing. I was like, wow, obviously him being super close to his wife and stepping away from all that stuff that the queens were doing their own thing on their side and stuff like that. And I obviously, easy with me, you and I spoke about this. I spoke about this with Jerome as well, about unconscious bias, you understand? And there was an interesting documentary. What is the name of the documentary again? Easy, you probably know more information about this.
The name is very simple. It's Unconscious Bias.
Unconscious Bias. Okay.
Okay.
That is...
It's on Netflix.
No.
That is not on Netflix. You have to pay for it if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I had the chance to talk with the director and the producer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
What's her name again?
Robin Hauser.
She's American, is it?
She's an American, US-American film producer and director. And she, as far as my research showed, she earned like 13 international awards in the last 7 years. So in the American scene, she's really like a figure.
She's qualified. I think there's another director there who's Irish as well. I forgot her name. But there's a bunch of people. If I can just look through here and let you guys know. But I was very, like, you know, taken by surprise by that whole thing, you understand? Because there's also an IAT test you can do online that tells you exactly
how biased you are.
But I don't think I needed to take the test.
No, you don't.
You understand? Because if you see one black dude fighting with a...
I think reality of this is this. We, each and every single one of us is biased in one way or the other about something. You know, like, look, you know, there's, as far as I understand, there's, I think, two forms of biasness. So there is the implicit, which is the unconscious, I think, and then the explicit, which is, you know, the blatant biasness, you know, like, you know, I don't like you on racial grounds.
Yes.
You know,
that's the one I want to touch up on.
That's explicit, you know, that's in your face. But then there's the implicit, the unconscious one that you're barely even aware that you're being biased.
Yes, yes.
But it's inbuilt. It's within you, but you don't even realize you're doing it. Do you know what I mean? What's the best example I can use? Let me think.
Should we use the question? This very interesting question. Let's ask this question to Jerome. Okay. Jerome, let's see how huge your implicit bias is. Okay, imagine the following situation. It's not a joke. It's not a trap question. It's just a real scenario.
It's not a riddle either. You guys can answer this too.
Exactly. It's for everybody. Mm. Just imagine the following. An accident happened. A car accident. In the car, there was a man, a father, and his son. So the man asked the father and his younger son. When the accident happened, the man died. Only the son survived, and he was taken to hospital with injuries. And in the hospital,
they had to do a surgery on the boy.
The surgeon who was treating that guy, that little boy, said, "I cannot operate this boy. He is my son." Now, who is the surgeon?
Whoa, wait.
Again, I was summarizing.
Let me explain it. Let me explain it better.
Let me
do it quick.
Okay, do it quick.
It's like this. All right. A father and his son get into a car crash. Okay. They get into a car crash. The father dies. You know,
right.
Dead on arrival, whatever. The ambulance takes his son, takes him to a hospital, and
right.
he needs surgery. Okay.
Right.
Once they put him on the table, the surgeon, the lead surgeon who's supposed to operate on the kid, says, I cannot operate on this kid.
He's my son.
Who is the surgeon? And it's
chill.
See, the only thing I can think of, right, that the dude that died in the accident, right,
mm-hmm.
and the surgeon
mm-hmm.
were probably a gay couple.
No.
I went on a gay couple.
Just, I give you a few more
seconds. No, don't give no hints because you're talking to people.
I said I will give him a few more seconds.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, when I got the answer, I was like, shit, is my bias that deep?
Yeah.
Is it that? It's because it's so simple.
Wait.
Yeah. Where am
Let's give him a few more seconds, man.
Three.
Huh.
Nah.
Two.
Chill.
One.
I can't think of any other scenario, though.
Can you not?
He's my son.
Can I say?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Go for it. Put me out of my misery.
The surgeon is his mother.
Oh shit. There it is right there.
And the film started off
yeah.
with that question. I was like, now she has me. Now she has my attention. In that
See, that's how the film starts.
Unconsciously, we're biased. And you know what? Let me just ask you.
You thought it was a man too, yeah? Because you said maybe... Bro, that's bad because when I was watching the documentary, it was only available for 24 hours. I got the link, she sent me the link, and I was watching it. And at that moment, I was kind of like, oh, man, I have to watch, what's this thing all about? Is this going to be beneficial? And then when I heard that question, I stood up straight away. I was okay, you got my attention.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let me watch what's this all about. You understand?
Mm.
Because everyone, I'm quite sure people that are listening right now thought, oh, it's the gay couple, or maybe his wife lied to him. He's like the secret father or something like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Brother looks for so
like,
many
who,
answers.
Who
bro. I was so disappointed.
Do you know what's sad?
In myself,
it goes to show how deep this thing goes, and you know, especially when it comes to women, there is a biasness around, you know, geared towards women that a lot of us men don't really, you know, we don't seem to understand exists,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, it lies in spaces like, you know, if a dude marries a girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, you know, let me rewind and come back. Do you ever listen to some dudes and they talk about, you know, me, my wife, yeah, I don't allow my wife to work.
Mm.
My wife's job is to
cook at home
yeah,
in the kitchen, all that kind of
stuff. So, but if you ask them, if you go deeper than that and you ask them where they actually get this mentality from, it's rooted in them because you kind of grow up seeing that. So it is a biasness in itself because what if she wants to work?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, she's not your property.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But we all have these sort of biasness. Look. I've been checked by my wife a couple of times because I said something stupid without even realizing how it sounds. And then you play it back in your head and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know what? My bad. Actually, yeah, when I played it back in my head, it sounds awful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But, dude, I was so disappointed in myself.
I know.
Because I look at any of these scenarios, I always think about my sisters. I always do.
Mm.
Like, whenever I look into this, I was like, okay, my sister, what would my sisters think? And that's the way I always think. Like, I want my sister to have a better life and stuff like that. And I always go there. But, like, for me to be like, oh, man. And, you know, the worst part is for you, it's possible for you to be able to overcome that slowly if you train yourself, if you really care about that, to be honest. I don't know what you think, you know.
Well, I think the more educated people are, and the more they circle in a diversity of society, the more they tend to think that they have less bias, less implicit bias.
Yes,
that seems to be just a facade to me. It seems to be an illusion. And, like, I don't exclude myself from that.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. Mm. But I think you can never reach being free of bias. You can never reach the state of mind. And this is something which is like sad on the one hand, but it's also like natural on the other hand.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if people would run around not having any pre-images of anything they see, they would run into danger, you know?
Yeah.
If you see a car coming like to you and you're like, oh, this car looks nice, but it doesn't slow down, it doesn't slow, never mind. Maybe not the best example, but if people
that's
would walk around being
example.
Blind,
yeah.
then you could easily put yourself in danger. So
yeah.
you can look at it from like two perspectives.
That's interesting way you put that, because, I mean, we have preconceived ideas
exactly.
to save us from danger. And
ideas.
I think you can't walk around without any preconceived ideas. That's part, we the only thing, you know, everything we know is through learning. We're told whatever we know. That's, you know, you're told that. That's it's you've not really made up your mind that this is what it is. Someone told you this is what it is. Until you get to a stage in your life and you start questioning things. Now, sadly, not everyone questions things. There's a lot of people that go through their lives thinking,
yeah.
oh yeah, look, I read this in a book, so
yeah.
that's how it is. Do you know what I mean?
But you know what's funny though? A few years ago, I think it was 2017, and I was in Paris for like the very first time. I'll be in France, but I never been in Paris. I was in Paris, meeting with my cousin. They came from Africa, my auntie, and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, for me, I've grown up here in Europe, you know, it's normal. Because the unconscious bias goes deep and strong in Africa, you know, because of the culture and everything that goes on there. That's one thing, if I can wish I can take it back from us, you understand? But then again, that's a story for another episode. But listen, my cousin, we're walking and we're going towards to catch the train. And my cousin looks at the bus and there's a female driver. He's like, look, oh my God, there's a female driving the bus.
Yes.
And I'm like,
oh, yes.
dude, behave yourself.
Calm down.
Yeah. He's like, there's a female driving the bus. I can see her, look at her, there's a female driving the bus. And I'm like, oh, there's females here that drive the bus. I'm like, dude, it's everywhere. You're in Europe. But no, like, it's not like that in Africa. Like, you're in Europe. And that image always stayed with me. And when I say that, when that question was posed at the start of the documentary, and that's when I kind of like went to my head and I was like, I'm nearly like my cousin. Not like I was judging my cousin, but like I'm just as bad as him.
But you see, this one thing I've just thought about this. I think sometimes biasness sometimes is based on, okay, biasness, I suppose, sometimes works hand in hand with culture. So based on your cultural upbringing and your cultural beliefs and say, hell, even your religious beliefs, you might find yourself being biased based on what you believe in and what your culture is about. Because, I mean, how many times do you hear people of different religions believing that everyone Muslim is got to be a terrorist?
Yeah.
You know? But yet, in reality, that's not what the actual religion of Islam is about. It's about peace and unity and brotherhood and togetherness and all of this.
Complete opposite.
It's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But it's because of, you know, what media puts out there and what they, you know, what they believe Osama bin Laden to be and whatnot and all of this and all of this. So they come across with this kind of biasness. And some people don't even understand why they bias towards Muslims. And that's just an example.
Yeah.
Right? And in the same breath, if you take...
You can say the same thing about Muslims too.
Oh, yeah. So
Muslims and Muslims.
It's vice versa. It works both ways. It's a two-way traffic. It's
black
the same
people
thing.
Too.
It's the same thing like an African when, you know, if an African... Like you said... Your brothers or your cousins were coming from Africa. So they have a different perception of what things look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a different expectation of what Europe is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So then they get here and they get a serious culture shock. But it's based on their own biasness because they have this preconceived idea of what things are supposed to be like in Europe. Same thing applies. Europeans... Have you never got someone from around here asking you, oh, do you guys have houses in Africa? And they're like, yeah, from here.
No,
we don't. We live in trees.
Or this, listen, or this, this. Oh, like, when you land in Africa, do you immediately see cows and lions? I'm like, bro, who told you this? Didn't you finish school? Like,
so, but it's the...
Bro, if I look at people like that, I'm like, don't talk to me anymore. Like, fam.
But we're all part of the same thing. And I think as a collective, as the human race, like you were saying, you cannot get to a point where you're minus biasness.
Mm.
Because we build these mental images of things, right? Which is the exact opposite of what the reality of the situation is.
So but you're don't really... I don't mean to cut you there, but don't we need to be able to practice this at least so when the next generation comes, they will practice, and then the next generation, at least 3 or 4 generations after, it's less biased. Don't we need to kind of like be able to be on that energy, you know?
I think maybe this topic evolves same as discussions about racism, about pay inequality, about like... just inequalities between genders, and maybe we will have a better world concerning this issue in like 30 years from now on. But I think this can only work like if as you refer to, Jerome, media also takes up this and also puts emphasis on it, because
they would never do that.
I wouldn't say that,
because you're a media person.
I wouldn't say that.
No, the media is biased.
The media is biased, but there are also people and also media outlets who have the power to actually influence public opinion or public awareness of anything.
Oh, yeah.
And if that happens in the next, let's say, decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, then I think this topic might actually get more awareness. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I suppose with the introduction of, the internet and stuff like that, it might change. But if we're to stay within...
We've been on internet since like what, the 90s?
But we're still out here. The construct of media has only recently changed.
Exactly.
The construct of media, man, if you go back to, let me give you an example, to times like Hitler's time, right? There were radio stations then. Hitler had his own TV station way before the Americans got TV, right? But he used this for propaganda purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so obviously, I mean, why not if you're a dictator, like,
you know? Do you know what I mean? So, but that what that creates is a biasness,
mm-hmm.
because he used this as propaganda, which created a biasness towards the Jews, hence the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So unless I think for me, with the introduction of the way media and the internet is working and how easy it is to share and, you know, send off information, I think this new construct, we might see a difference in how biased people are. But the old construct, no, I don't think so.
Okay. And you have to consider the fact that the World Wide Web actually gives more people an opportunity to raise their voice.
Mm.
If we look at the time back when there only were like newspapers and TV, the individual had less power to raise its voice because there were just no possibilities.
No.
And now you can step online, and if you manage to create a platform, you can spread your message. And if it's positive, the better it is.
This is the era of the people.
I think we have to look like on internet as a baby in this situation, because it's only 30 years old.
Mm,
and
in
regards
to
the whole media development of the last like 1800 years, this is just a baby, and there is huge potential in it, I feel like.
There's a huge potential and a potential danger in it.
Yeah,
you know, like,
absolutely.
With everything, you cannot look at just the positive. Everything, you know, like, what's that law? Is it Newton's third law of motion, action, and
off the rip, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So action and reaction have opposite and equal, you get
equal action or whatever,
so,
something like that. I heard.
Yeah, so there's opposite ends to everything. So, you know, this has potential of doing 100, but it equally has potential of doing 100 in the negative direction as well.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
True. But isn't that what's happening and stuff like that? That's why you have news, kids watching porn, etc. You understand?
No,
this is the podcast is definitely positive. Listen, on the media situation, I want to talk to you guys about you guys are nowhere near social media, nor that you guys talk about social media, but yet you guys speak so nice of the internet and the media. Speak to me about this. We're going to start with you, Izzy. You talk to us about, I don't know, give us your opinion. Why, guys, if you guys try to look for her, you will not find her.
You will not find me, though.
But you know what's funny? She studied media law.
Really?
I do. What's my opinion on social media? Let me start with saying that I think that there's huge potential in it if you use it for the right purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If we talk about social media usage for professional terms, then I'm absolutely on it. I feel like if there's a matter behind your use, if you use it for business life,
mm-hmm.
professional matters, you can create something really impactful with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I'm not on social media, and this refers to the opposite side, this refers to the personal side of a person, of an individual,
mm-hmm.
is because I know myself too well, and I know that it's a trap I can very easily step into. So whenever the time will come for me to use it for professional reasons, I will do so and I will make the best out of it. But I know, like, if I had social media just to put my images out of the world, to say what I'm eating, to say what I'm doing, I know I would be addicted to it, and I don't want to be that. I knew my phone would be the first thing to touch in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and the last thing to touch in the evening, especially Instagram. And
look at you being a loser. I'm joking.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can use my time in different ways.
That's it.
To read books, Jerome.
That's
like you.
To watch documentaries. Let's be honest.
Yeah, Jerome. What's your take? Yeah. What's your take there?
And
for me,
before you start, just let me interrupt you. I feel like everybody should do what he or she wants to with social media. This is just how I see it. This just refers to me. Like, this is not something I would, scream out to somebody.
Not literally what you want.
What's your advice?
Don't kill
on
cats
media.
Online. Don't take off your clothes.
I think, like,
unless you're a stripper or something.
I think social media has gone way too far. No, don't get me wrong. I have a few. I'm on Instagram, but I barely. Like, I can't remember the last time I ever.
Bro, is your wife
Instagram.
Using your Instagram? Because when you go to your Instagram, hold on, just 1 second, just before you start, let's just laugh for a second.
Don't even know.
Everybody, Jerome Camaro, because you always give JK, I'm like, what's Jerome doing? Like, bro, there's like beauty stuff. I'm like, is Jerome open up like beauty therapy?
No. We have this online thing, so it automatically puts up ads on Instagram and whatnot.
Oh, right.
Like, I've barely been on Facebook, Instagram, and whatnot.
There's like houses.
And my thing is, you take an average person, right? From the minute they wake up, the first thing they go on is their social media.
I am the average person, ladies and gentlemen.
How many likes they got on a post from last night. Now, the amount of time that you spend on that, on average, I don't know. There's this app, apparently, it will do the numbers on how much time you spend
on your screen.
Yeah, on your screen.
It tells at the end of the week or end of the month. I hate
and
that thing.
For me, I think it's a reality
Everybody
check.
Does that automatically.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's a reality check that you find that you've lost so much time just staring at the screen, you know? And what for? Do you know? In most cases, look, if you look at how many kids have actually gone and committed suicide, the cyberbullying, kids feeling insecure, wanting to do all sorts of things because they think they should look like someone that they've seen on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
on Instagram, mm-hmm. you know? For me, what I look at, it creates more insecurity in people because people want to be like the next person. But what people forget is what you see on Facebook and Instagram is not the reality of the situation.
That's true.
That's someone probably walking through town. They have on their Sunday best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go past maybe a Lamborghini and they take a shot. Now, there you are, you're like,
shit. Some people there have a Lamborghini, unless you know somebody personally that actually do that. For me, I feel like there's pluses on social media. Obviously, this platform is also on social media.
Mm.
Two podcasts, you already know. And also there's people that do make money off of it now, especially now around this time, around the pandemic, what's happening now. For me, just before you go, for me, I've always felt like, because you know me, I'm all about truth. I'm all about confronting people front and center and just be able to live free and all that. And for me, I felt like I could use my platform to spread inspiration, to be able to inspire people. And every time I post anything on my platform, I get a response for that. Because not just only that I am responsible for my own platform, it's like throughout the year before the pandemic, we hosted African Days. You talk to people, and I'm also a podcaster, and I'm also, you know, I'm an MC as well outside of that. And for me, like yesterday, for instance, anybody who goes to my profile, you're going to see that yesterday I posted, what was that? What did I post it again? I posted, hi, my name is PJ. I suffer from, let me just go and look at this thing.
You don't know what you suffer from.
Hold on. No. It's just I forgot exactly. I don't want to say it wrong. I said I suffer from symptoms of abandonment. You understand? And I've got few people that reply to me and they say, kudos for you for going ahead and doing that. I suffer from the same thing. Some people say, what does that mean? Some people clapped. And some people, that was not me seeking for attention. For me, that felt like taking the load off. Because it's for reasons that I won't get to it in it here, because you have a lot of time, you know. But because I felt like I've been stuck in this situation so much, especially in this dream so much, I have to be able to say this. You understand? Maybe one day we're going to talk about why I posted that exact post. But as soon as I posted that there, you understand? It was like, it's out there. Okay? And I'm one of those persons, like, I keep my life pretty much private. You understand? I'll post. I'm working out to motivate people. Obviously, that there's no genes, whatever. And I'll ask people questions. Listen, guys, there's anti-mask and mask people, pro-mask. Which one you guys are, blah, blah, blah. All that kind of stuff. But in what I do or whatever, who I'm with and stuff like that, that is pretty much private to me. But that was one of those things that I feel like I need to let that out there and to be like, okay, that's it. Because I felt like I was going to get to a situation where I felt like I was like, you know, bombarding too much in my head. I don't know if that's making sense. But anyway, I put that out there. That was that.
But you basically introduced what I just had in my mind. Regardless of professional or business or whatever, I feel like social media can be a huge mental support, especially these days.
You're right about that. Yes.
So I don't want to deny that at all. And I mean, what do I do to keep my mind healthy? I talk to people, but I also like listen to way more podcasts than I used to do before March 2020. And podcasts, that's a platform too. So maybe I'm addicted to these platforms. I don't know. Maybe my addiction is not social media, but something else. So you can, again,
I mean, you can replace it with something else. It's possible.
Exactly. I think we all do something on the web. We all have our little niches that, you know, I'm into this kind of thing. Like, my thing is motivation speakers.
Yeah.
That's my thing. That's what I listen to. When I get up, first thing in the morning, I have my coffee, have my headphones on.
I used to do that for...
And I just go in and listen half an hour until my son wakes up. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I got that one in.
Let's
and
get
that
some keeps, books.
Yeah, that gets me going.
I used to do that. You know when I used to do that? I had to like drive from Waterford to Wexford to go to college. Carlo IT, Wexford campus. And that was an hour drive, you understand? And every time I was driving, like I would drive like for like 55 minutes to get to Wexford to go to college. I had to wake up at 7 in the morning every single day, 5 days a week, and drive over to Wexford and then finish college around 4:30 or 5, then drive for an hour back to Waterford at 6 o'clock and start my shift from 6 to 10. And for me, I used to put up, who is this guy? Les something. Les Brown. I used to put Les Brown.
It's good.
I used to put Les Brown. And I used to put, there's another young guy, American like this, I forgot his name. But I used to put both of them there.
Tori.
And sometimes they had some stuff about Sylvester Stallone from the movie. It was really good. You understand? And I used to put that stuff and I'll listen to it while I get up. I'll get up every day just feeling tired. I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'll get up and I'll shower and I'll get dressed and I'll listen to that whole thing play in the morning and stuff like that. That thing would play for exactly about 45 minutes until I'm ready to go, or about 20 minutes till I'm ready to go, depending on what time I wake up.
Mm.
By the time, I always knew, by the time I'm done getting dressed, my mind was on set. I got in my car, I put on the music, I was ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. I'll go to college.
Nothing beats that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I've gotten to this stage now, I don't actually listen to motivation speakers. Like, I do every now and again, right? But I listen to famous speeches out of movies. You know how these speeches out of movies, those really pep talks out of movies. Yeah, so now those are working for me lately.
I know, man. Because you get sick of listening to the same thing at the same time.
Oh,
you
understand?
You see, you get sick of listening to the same thing. I know one of my favorite ones is like, if you do the same thing today that you did yesterday, you're stuck.
Mm.
And it says, I repeat, and there was music playing, and then it stopped. Say, if you do the same thing that you did yesterday, today, or tomorrow, you're stuck. Now think about that. You're basically just repeating the same cycle again. And people get, anyway, I don't want to get into it too much.
Einstein said the same thing as well. Einstein said something like, if the definition, his definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
That's interesting.
That was Einstein, though. Yeah, I kind of read a little bit about that dude because he's interesting. His mind... Wow, some people have minds. That boy had minds. His mind was...
out of this world. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I will end this. Listen, actually, I want to say, did we get some pretty cool response from the second episode? One we spoke about, the Young Shakur one and stuff. I'd be better. At least some people are saying, Jerome, you're not... off a little bit. I remember the first what was the second episode when you off a little bit, the third episode, but we getting some few response, obviously. Some people are like, oh yeah, you two sounds like Morgan Freeman or whatever. By the way, I do not sound like Morgan Freeman. If you talk about Jerome, you're talking about Jerome, then that's probably
yeah cool. I ain't a Morgan Freeman.
I'm cool But listen, thank you very much for listening. Okay, all the social media stuff is down there. They don't have any.
And speaking, just before we go, again, we're not criticizing. You know, you do what works for you. I mean, look, I might not be into social media. I might not let my kid watch no TV. But that's just me. That's my perception. You know, reality is a matter of perception. So it depends on how you perceive things. If that works for you, by all means. I am here to judge. Who am I to judge? We're not here to judge. We're just throwing ideas there and, you know, spreading the love. So, you know, if you want to shout back, let's discuss.
I agree, absolutely.
Hey, don't shout back at me. I'm not discussing. Nothing with you. Listen, you guys enjoy your day. Stay safe. Wear masks. Listen, next time we're going to talk about this anti-mask and the mask stuff. You see where this goes, okay?
Oh,
understand? Stay safe. If you're feeling blue or something, find someone to call. Or you can call me. You can talk to me anytime. You're truly the boy.
Yeah, don't ring me.
Number
at
2,
night,
though, R-U-L-Y.
Because no one will be pissed off.
Man, you don't have a social media anyway, man. No one's going to ring you, man.
Take care of you.